بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. I will be covering chapter 3 in this section, inshallah. The Sheikh talks about rulings related to clothing and beautifications. The first thing he mentions is prohibition, tahrim, and permissibility, tahleel, are sole rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, at the end of the day, we are Muslims. We will submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this right is Allah's right to make legislation for His creation and to say this is allowed and to say this is not allowed. We are owned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the rebellious attitude isn't the attitude of a Muslim. That's what differentiates us. That's what differentiates Muslims and Islam from kufr. That's what differentiates Jibreel from Sayyidina Jibreel from Iblis. That's what differentiates Adam from Shaitan. It's basically submitting yourself to the will of your Lord, to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for you to obey Him and respect Him and honor Him. It's not someone's opinion or logic or feeling that one can make things haram. It's not someone's personal idea or... We have to make judgments on what is halal and what is haram from evidence of the Quran and the Sunnah. The option for what is halal is so vast. There are many things that are halal. So many things that the Sheikh mentioned that falls under what is halal and what is haram. So why do we have to have choices? Why do we have to choose the haram? Why do we have to fight over the area of what is haram? Why do we have to doubt what is haram? Why do we have to defend it? So choices and options for beautification is so big. So why do we have to go to the doubtful of and fight for it? Don't limit yourself to what is haram. There are so many things. Wearing makeup and doing your hair is halal, unless you are deceiving. Unless you're doing it to deceive someone, and you change your look just to make yourself look deceiving. He gave the example where you put so much makeup on and you dye your hair, and then when you take a shower, you become a totally different person. The intentions behind the action will also determine whether something is halal or whether something is haram. The default ruling about clothing is that all is permissible except what is prohibited by Sharia. A lot of people think that it is haram until you find proof. But no. Anything you want to wear is halal unless there is proof to say that it is haram. Number 5. One of the goals of Sharia is to cover awra, and one of the goals of Shaitan is to expose it. The Shaitan was very angry that Adam alayhi salam, a new creation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created, was covered. He was veiled. His awra was covered. His private parts were covered. And the shaitan was very angry. The shaitan, his goal at this point was to expose the awra of Sayyidina Adam and Sayyidina Hawa. He knows that if they ate from that tree, that they will lose themselves, the respect that they had for themselves, and that they will be exposed. They immediately started to cover themselves from the leaves of the tree. Number 6. The Sheikh mentioned that one of the goals of Sharia is to establish modesty and morality in society. One of the branches of Iman is Haya. The morality of society went downhill from back then to now. Number 7. The Sharia rules are intended to help a person control his or her desires and channel them from the right direction, not to be controlled by them. It is your right to want to feel pretty, but you shouldn't have this control your life. You shouldn't have this be a priority in your life. Make sure society is not controlling you. Make sure you are in control of your desires. Make sure you are in control of what you feel is a limit. Make sure you have a limit to how you're dressing. Number 7. The Sharia. Oh, We covered that. Number eight. Of the goals of Sharia is beauty, for Allah is beautiful and He loves beauty. He loves to see you dressed nicely, but at the same time dressed proper. Number nine, the presence of difficulty requires the allowances be made to effect ease. If there is a certain situation, like a man working on his own to support the family, and there is trouble, like he's having trouble supporting the family, the woman then should work. The woman needs to work. But so solutions for mixing, dressing, etc. should be sought out, because anyway, she will be mixing if she gets into if she becomes into the workforce, if she gets into the workforce, she will be mixing, she will be, but she needs to be proper and she needs to be modest. Number 10, one must not imitate non-believers or evildoers, fasiq, in what is known to be specific to them. Imitation on the exterior level often affects the interior. A sister cannot wear like a nun. They shouldn't wear crosses. They shouldn't have like so many piercings. Like the way they are allowed to have piercings, but piercings like the way the men, like the kuffar where it's like too much, or tattoos, etc. Like stuff like this, we should be more modest. We should be more unique in what we wear than how to nitashabah, like to make ourselves look like the kuffar. The Prophet ﷺ saw two red garments on Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu. So he said to him, "This is among the dress of the non-believers, so take it off." Number 11, a woman must not imitate what is specific to males and vice versa. So, for example, their haircuts, maybe a sister wearing a kufi, you're not allowed to wear that. We shouldn't wear that, or a tie. The sheikh said that if it's uniform purposes, it's fine, but if you're going out just for fun or something like that, we should not dress as the way a man dresses. Number 12, common culture is a reference as long as it is within a guideline of Sharia. Cultures can be different from one place to another. Spending too much israf on certain things, this is required to be a culture. This is referred to the culture of the people. He said that spending too much, like for example, a person who makes like $40,000 a year and he goes to a hotel that's like $1,000 a night, that's something that he cannot afford. But a person who makes $100,000, $200,000 and he goes to a hotel that costs $1,000 a night, that's in his budget. He can afford it. So if you can afford it, that he said it's fine. But if you can't afford it, you really can't do it. Number 13, the Sharia came with rulings to block the means of haram, closing the door against possibility of committing illegal things. Sometimes a permissible act may be forbidden by law because it leads or may most probably lead to illegal actions. He said this doesn't mean that we close every door saying that everything is haram. It just means that certain things are going to be haram because it's going to lead to, we should close the door on it because it's going to lead to haram. He said if you're on the edge, then like you're going to fall. So the Sharia law prohibits some things that's going to lead to the haram. So eat and drink and dress and give in charity without excessiveness or arrogance. That's one of the statements that the sheikh mentioned. Number 15, wasting time is prohibited in the Sharia law. Wasting time, like taking 2 hours in the shower. He was like, that's wasting so much time of your day. That's wasting 2 whole hours of your day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, wal asr, he swears by the time and the fact that it is wasted. The sheikh said, every heartbeat you have tells you are a collection of seconds and minutes. Hijab was made obligatory upon the believing woman once they reached the age of puberty. He said hijab is a must. you must wear the hijab. He said, stating this ayah, Ya ayyuha al-Nabiyu kull azwajika wa banatika wa nisa'il mu'mineen. He said, needs a strong iman, the mu'min, the sisters who have who are mu'mineen, who are strong believers. So Allah called on a believing woman. He said, because it takes a lot of iman for a Muslim sister to wear the hijab. It takes a lot for a Muslim sister to wear the hijab. It's not easy for a Muslim sister to cover. So they used to not cover back in the old days, but when this ayah came down, they started covering more modestly, and they started covering. They used to drape the scarf on their heads, and Allah said to roll it over their shoulders to cover their neck and hair, because they used to only wear it, like drape the scarf over their heads, but that still showed a lot of beauty. So Allah revealed another ayah to the Prophet, stating that they should wear it, and they should wrap their garments over their shoulders and cover their necks and their hairs. The slave women were not obligated to cover. He said because the slave women were always working, and that it was a really hot, so they weren't obligated to cover. Non-Muslims did not cover. So Muslim women were then able to be recognized. The Prophet's family is fully covered. The Prophet ﷺ said, cursed be to the women that do their eyebrows, that pluck their eyebrows and do tattoos. Ibn al-Qama related that Abdullah said, Allah curses women who tattoo and are tattooed, women who pluck their eyebrows, and women who file their teeth to make gaps for beauty, altering Allah's creation. He said that women in the old days, they used to file their teeth like really sharp, like shark teeth, just to differentiate themselves from the older women, because they wanted to look young, because they wanted to have teeth like the young, the children, like how children's teeth were. So they used to file their teeth. So he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will curse those women who beautify themselves in this way. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam cursed the woman who joins her on her hair, and the one who has it joined on, like for example extensions. When in this part the Sheikh said that extensions if you're bald, he said it's still haram. He also said that the reason why some scholars believed it was haram was because it was other human hair, they used to use human hair as extensions, or they used to use human hair as wigs, and human hair, after it leaves the body, is najas in itself. So he said that this is the reason why some scholars believe it is haram to wear other people's hair, but he said artificial hair is, it's fine, like it's nothing. To get to the questions, number one, what is the awra of a woman in front of another woman? He said from the navel to the knee. Majority says from the navel to the knee, but Imam Ahmed says no, must cover more than that. They must cover a little more than that. What is the awra in front of male relatives? Be modest in clothing, even if he's Muslim. Do I have to wear, number three, do I have to wear a jilbab or abaya? Is it okay to wear a skirt or pants with long shirt or jacket? Is dressing in shalwar kameez sufficient? You need to meet the conditions of hijab. Nothing specific. Pants are okay, but not too tight and defining. Number four. Does hijab have to be black or a dark color? No. Umm Salima said after the lecture of hijab, all women wore black, but that was just the culture of back then. But he also gave many examples that people in the back in the day, they used to wear red, or they used to wear color And he gave many proofs to that we're not limited to wearing just black. We're limited to wearing what is culturally accepted in society. One of the conditions of hijab is that clothing is not an attraction in and of itself. What is considered inherent beauty or attraction? Is it okay if it is glittery? Is it okay if it matches in the color of and style? Yes, there are evidences that show the women used to dress in that way. They used to dress in color. He said also something that is culturally accepted. Number 6, can I remove my hijab in front of a non-Muslim? No, no proof that differentiate between Muslim women and non-Muslim women. Ibn Abbas said not to uncover in front of non-Muslim women, specifically talking about the midwives' public baths, not for hijab. Ibn Qadama said no difference between any woman, Jew, Christian, Muslim. A non-Muslim can describe the Muslim girl to a man, but we should educate them, tell them that that's the point. We can't describe ourselves to them. We can't show them our beauty. We can't let them know how we look. 7. Can I dress according to the latest fashion? He said, yes, but don't just blindly imitate them. He said, no Victoria's Secret catalogs, because they show too much aura. Maybe if you want to look at the some pictures that women, maybe if you want to look at magazines that cover the woman's aura, then that's fine. But don't try not to look at women's lingerie magazines, because they usually uncover the aura and they usually are too free with that. Number 8, can I wear clothing made of animal leather or fur? He said if it is not from real animal skin. He said some say that if you dye the skin, it is okay, except pig. He said sometimes footballs are made from pig skin, or there are many things that made from pig skin, but try to keep away from it. He said any skin can be purified if you dye it. So if you dye the animal hair or if you dye the animal skin, then it will be purified. Number 9, can I wear makeup in public? What is the rule about kuhl and henna? If it gets you attractions, if it's too attracting, then stay away from it. He gave many stories on how women back in the day used to wear henna as beauty, and he said that's fine. He said also if it's too much kuhl, if it's so noticeable, then try to stay away from it. But if it's gonna fit in, if it looks natural, he said it is allowed to wear kuhl. He also gave an example that if you're a single woman who is looking to get married, it is fine. He gave an example. One woman who came and she dressed beautifully. She wore new clothes. She beautified herself and she left her house. And one of the Sahaba told her, he wasn't worried about the fact that she beautified herself. He was worried about the fact if she finished her days yet or not. So this just proves that beautifying yourself, beautifying who you are, is not haram. Number 10. What is the ruling regarding going out in high heels? He says if your intention is to get attention and seduce guys, then no. But if your shoes just make noise on their own, it is okay, because every shoe makes noise in its own way. Number 11. Is dressing in traditional Chinese, Japanese, Native American, etc. clothing considered imitation? It is not specific to them. Nothing to do with religion. It has nothing to do with religion. So it is not specific to them. So it is okay. Number 12. What is the ruling regarding wearing jewelry that was originally associated with pagan beliefs? He said we should try to avoid it unless it is not looked at like that anymore. So, tradition now, cultural, nowadays, it's not looked as it anymore. So it is, but we should try to avoid it. Number 13. What is the ruling regarding wearing clothing that has images or crosses? He says some say if it is part of the image, the cross is if it is part of the image, the cross is okay, but it is not allowed. If the image is part of clothing, furniture, etc., then it is fine. Number 14. Am I allowed to buy clothes that I don't need? He said, yes, you're allowed. Imam Malik had about 100 pairs of shoes. Number 15. What is the ruling regarding wearing unisex clothing? It is okay. Is it permissible to wear shorts or swimming suits at girls' pool parties? He said, refer back to the one with the awra. He said that if it is covering from your navel to your knee, that it is fine. But if it is showing any part of your awra, then it is not fine. Number 17. Are bikinis allowed in public? Can I swim with my clothes on? He said, yes, you can wear burkinis. You can wear them. They're Islamically appropriate. They are fine. The problem, he said, with women going to beaches or pools is, and they go in with their clothes on, is when they come out, their clothes are they be it becomes tight. He said that if you want to go to a beach or something, try to get a towel with you so you could cover yourself right away, wrap yourself right away, because your clothes are a little tight. So when you come out of the beach or the when you come out of the water, so if you can do that, if it's fine. Number 18. Is it permissible to dress in a way specific of evildoers, fasiqs, in front of my husband only? He said yes, because there is no imitation here. He said that if you want to wear like a belly dancing outfit, he gave an example. He said that this woman, she's doing it in front of men that are strangers to her, but you're doing something in front of your husband. And he said that your husband, there's no limitation on what your husband can see. Number 19. What is the ruling regarding wearing simple jewelry that can be seen, such as ring, a nose ring, a ring, or a necklace over my abaya? He said scholars say that you're only supposed to wear these in front of women and mahram, but small simple jewelry is fine. 20. Is it allowed to purchase gold or silver with a credit card? He said no, it's not allowed. It's haram. Number 21. Is it allowed to wear a nose ring or get a navel piercing or piercing in any other area of the body? Can I wear more than one earring? As many you want in the ear. It's not prohibited. It's not haram, but it is not recommended. But it can be imitation. So try not to overdo it, like he said, because we could be imitating the kuffar. Number 22. What is the ruling on colored eye lenses? He said it is permissible. You are allowed to wear it. Number 23. He said, and number 22. He said that colored eye lenses just gives you a color. The man doesn't know whether your eyes are black, blue, gray, or orange. He said that as soon as you take it off, there's another color in your eye. So he said, what's the difference? He said it's permissible. He said, number 23, is it permissible to bleach my eyebrows? He said, yes, it is. Not the same as plucking them. It's not the same as plucking them. Number 24, can I remove the hair above my nose that connects to my eyebrows? He said, yes. The eyebrows are just over the eye. It's so the nose between the nose, it's not part of the eyebrow. That's just facial hair. Number 25. What is the ruling regarding fake eyelashes or fake nails? He said it is allowed if it is not for seduction, deceiving, or bad intentions. Nails are permissible if it is not very noticeable. Number 26. What is the ruling regarding cosmetic dentistry? He said it is permissible, but not when change and but not when it is changed the way it looks. Like braces are okay. Filing teeth, no, they're not okay. What is the ruling regarding using food for external skin care? He said, yes, you can. He gave an example that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided everything in the world for you, for your benefit. Number 28. What is the ruling regarding cosmetic surgery? He said cosmetic surgery to make you beautiful is not allowed. It is allowed with conditions. If she needs it, you don't change Allah, you can't change Allah's creation. This is not, is it allowed to get a tattoo? What if it is removable? He said that if it is the removable, that's fine, that's like henna tattoo, but if it is not removable, you are not allowed to get a permanent tattoo because it changes Allah's creation. You are not we are not this our bodies are amana, and we have to return them the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us. Number 30. If I have a tattoo from before Islam, what should I do? He said keep it. If you can, remove it. If you can't, just keep it. Is number 31. Is it permissible to use the products from the Dead Sea? He said yes. Number 32. Can I cut my hair short? He said yes, but not like a man. Number 33. Can I put my hair according to the trend or get a haircut that celebrity has? He said, if you do it because of how much you love that person, then no. But otherwise, it is okay because if you like the haircut, you think it's a nice haircut, then it's permissible. But if you adore and you're getting it just because you love this person so much, he said no. Number 34. What is the ruling regarding wearing wigs? What if it is for my husband because illness? He said no human hair, but but synthetic, yes. For illnesses, yes. 35. Are there any restrictions regarding dyeing the hair? He said no. Even black is allowed for women. Number 36. What is the ruling on hair extensions? He said to beautify yourself for your husband's synthetic hair is okay. It's fine. But real human hair, he said it's najas, so it's not okay. Number 37. Can I pluck my eyebrows if this pleases my husband? He said some say that yes because it is not deceiving. But the hadith is pretty clear and straightforward. Number 38. What is the ruling regarding removing your hair or on arms and legs? Nothing was mentioned to for it to be forbidden. He said it's also cleanliness. Number 39. What is the ruling on laser hair removal? He said yes, it's permissible. Number 40. Is there a specific way that the underarm or pubic hair must be removed? He said any way you want. Number 41. Can I work as a beautification hairstylist? Yes, but stick with the conditions of Islam. Like you are not allowed to wax or look at the awrah of other women. So there are many conditions in Islam that you're allowed to. He said it's actually recommended because you're helping sisters, you're helping women be beautiful, but if it's gonna come to the haram, try to stay away from doing the haram. Number 42. Can I have someone else help me remove my hair from my body? He said arms and legs, yes, but no, but anywhere near the awrah, it's prohibited. Number 43. Can we have a community fashion show? He was like, have your own identity, be creative, don't imitate the kuffar, and don't show awrah. And this is the end of chapter 3. إن شاء الله وأقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم. السلام عليكم.